Good afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon.
Hey, let's have a listen to this for our clue. What our topic today is.
I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it's complicated. And though I know you can't appreciate it, I'm only happy when it rains.
Well, I guess it's something to do with rain and being happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy when it rains.
I'm happy too.
I have a feeling, I don't know, who knows with the summer?
I think it'll be a hot one because the pohutukawas have been blooming early.
Oh, yes, yes. So. Pierre is currently freaking out at the moment, thinking that there's going to be a deluge at any point because of all these cyclones that have been happening stuff. So he's...
Rumours going around that Christmas Day might be a cyclone day.
So who knows? But it's still, there's going to be some hot spells in there, which means, well, officially are we, or unofficially, are we out of the water crisis in
Yes,
Auckland?
We are officially out of the water crisis. So the water restrictions have eased and you're able to use handheld hoses on whatever you want to wash or water.
Apparently, the day that was announced, water use in Auckland went up something like 8%. Maybe more, but it was like really noticeable.
Everyone started washing their cars or something.
Yeah.
And windows.
Or just decided I'm going to water blast the house now. Woohoo, before it, you know. But, yeah, I think we're all right.
So, keeping it green this summer. In our gardens, how's your garden doing, Karen?
Yep, it's going well. It's already like the lawn's already starting to look a bit dry, which is great because I'm not having to, you know, mow it as much.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's something I need to certainly be aware of with my newer plants. I just need to keep on top of that.
Yeah.
And also I'm finding in the garden a few issues with disease, like just pests, just minor. No, okay. It's easily resolved, but I just need to keep on it, especially for the newer plants.
Yes.
I've got an interesting story, if we've got time, about current garden pests, sort of whitefly at the moment. Oh. It seems to just come when they're hot and bothered.
Yeah, they multiply more because
of
the
maybe
weather.
It's just spring, everything.
Yeah.
So you've got to deal with it all. And, of course, with that heat and your new plants, if you've put any in during spring, they need that accompanying water for that growth.
Yes.
So make sure you keep on top of it, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, okay.
What about you? How's your garden looking?
Quite green at the moment. Mm. I'm still flowering away. So I actually don't use a hose on my garden.
Yeah.
So I just kind of water what needs to be watered with my watering can.
Yeah.
And I mulch a lot and keep a lot of cover so there's not a lot of bare soil around. So at the moment it's looking pretty good.
Okay, well that's cool.
And I don't have lots of things in pots because pots tend to be like a...
Water
sponge.
I do have quite a few things. Yeah, and they attract the heat and they dry it out, the soil. And they're hard work. But I have chickens.
Yes.
Free range. Yep. And if I plant any sort of, you know, spring sort of vegetables or anything like that in the ground, it's just a complete waste of time. Yeah. So unless I maybe did the bit out the front, that's already jam-packed with stuff. I'm nurturing a baby self-seeded passion fruit, which I'm absolutely rapt about because last summer my awesome neighbours completely hacked
vine. I heard about
literally decapitated it. They went to the trouble to reach over the fence.
Oh.
And cut it.
Naughty neighbours.
Oh, dear. Community, isn't it wonderful?
Okay. So, Karen, have we got lots of tips for the listeners how to, keep it green? I've got some.
Yeah, please do, because I've really only focused so much on the plant of the week, but I do have some information on our newest source of water, which I'm going to be heavily relying on, which is the Waikato River.
Oh, from your home
I'm banking on this.
Your hometown.
Well, apparently in 2 weeks or something, the water plant that they're using to pump from the Waikato River to Auckland is officially got the green light, and we'll be getting something like, I don't know, a quarter more water than we usually get. So it's all on.
It's not going to deprive them, is it? The town's further down the...
I'll explain. I've got all the information you need to know for those people, unlike you, that are organised and mulched and have got, like, a garden that's pretty... It sounds to me like it kind of just looks after itself, a lot of it.
Well, my style of gardening is more flowers than veggie, so it actually doesn't require lots and lots of water, unlike, you know, your thirsty crop vegetables.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of going with my microclimate around my home.
Yeah.
So I sort of plant according to, like, nature.
Yeah.
Well, let's go into some tips.
Yes, please.
Okay, so summer watering. Well, first off, if you've done all your important jobs in the spring and even the autumn before that, your garden is going to be prepared for the summer dryness. So that includes mulching, and mulch is just like covering your soil with anything basically organic, or to cover like bare soil. Say you've got grass clippings or even twigs and
leaves
and things. And stones, yes, stones. Pebbles.
Do they attract heat though?
They do, but also shade. Yeah. And they will absorb the heat and radiate it out when it's, you know, it just keeps an even temperature of the soil. Mm. So my tip is, if you're using mulch, say like even like shredded paper or something, have it at least 5 centimetres deep, so you've got adequate coverage, because it will rot away and, you know, sort of get absorbed again.
Grass clippings?
Yep, grass clippings. I use lots of leaves. Seaweed?
Yeah.
Like if you're doing some prunings, you just chop and drop, and that will give coverage, and then that just sort of helps build it up and, good coverage for your roots, because you don't want exposed, you know, soil and plants, because it'll just dry out very quickly.
No, that's not ideal. That's gone straight to the heart, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you have the exposed roots.
Yeah, it's like you're wearing no clothes.
Yeah. Especially in New Zealand, it's like, you know,
not having a sun hat or something.
Yeah.
Now, if you're gardening using lots pots, which I don't generally tend to do a lot, pots actually need more water than most. Group your pots together, and bigger pots have less evaporation than smaller pots, so maybe go for a bigger amount.
So what's the philosophy behind grouping the pots together?
Oh, so you can easily water them if you need to. Like,
so they're not,
You're not going all over the place going, oh, I'm going to water this, and this all over the show. And then it's just a one-stop job if you're watering. If you're using the potting mix, go for the ones that have this extra wetting agent in it called saturate. You might find it might be a bit more pricey than your regular potting mix, but a lot of them actually have that to retain the water. It's like little jelly crystals.
Yeah.
So that may help.
And if you're going to, are you going to talk about grey water use here, or?
Actually, I didn't have that.
Oh, well, I was going to say, if you are really like diligent with regards recycling your water,
yes,
and using your grey water, just use it fresh. So it is a bit of a pain. My mum does this. She never lets the water out of her sink
when
she's washed the dishes. She always washes in a container, but it's backbreaking. Every time you do the dishes, then you got to... I guess like the old days back when we were living like foragers and hunters, and that was how they, especially in the hotter climates.
Okay.
There was a lot of lifting of water, wasn't there? And
I suppose
water.
If you're a dab handyman plumber, you could probably plumb your grey water to,
the only
to your garden.
Yeah, that would be good. The only problem with, you don't want to store it grey water
no,
for too long because it sort of starts, I don't know, what's the word for fermenting. Yeah, it's not, it can harbour some nasties. So you've got to...
Using something that's been sitting there for a while, just give it a stir and just, you know, mix it up a bit to
activate it. I guess whenever you look at your pipes that go out of your bath or whatever, it's like they're all pretty gross. but they have a chance to dry out, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they're not, it's not like stagnating water. Yeah.
I've got irrigation question mark. If you're using irrigation... I don't actually have irrigation in my garden.
You don't have an irrigation system.
But
no.
The best one to use, if you're going to go all out and do it,
all right.
is the drip irrigation system.
I was going to mention that for my plant of the week, Selena. I'll touch on that.
Basically, drip irrigation is like hose, like a basically a little hose buried in the ground with holes in it. So
it
when you do turn
feeds.
The water on, it just drip feeds. It's not a sprinkler system because that just sprays water up into the air.
Yeah.
It looks like... Fancy,
it's doing. It looks like it's doing a lot, but a lot of it's just like
it's
evaporating
just,
into the.
It's just creating
atmosphere.
Rainbows. Yeah. so you can actually, if you want to try that one, you can buy special leaky like hoses. But if you have an old hose, you could just like poke holes in it and lay it along.
Okay.
your garden.
I'll pass. But yeah.
But I don't because hoses are just. I'm not a fan of them.
Oh.
I find them hard to use and they all tangle up.
The thing is with irrigation is you've, unless you do it well.
Yeah.
Yeah, just my personal take on it. Or know someone that can, or the product, you pay a bit for the product. Yeah. It's a lot of hassle. Even with the expensive setups, often... That's, I mean, I just say that because a friend of mine down in the Canterbury Plains, you can't farm down there without irrigation.
Yes.
There's no such thing as farming. It just doesn't, you know, it's a
you
part of
it.
There.
Yeah.
So they're all, they've got quite a large scale operation happening there with lots of stock and stuff. But it's all automated. It, it takes quite a chunk of the day having to organise where it's going to go, set it up, and then there's inevitable, you know, leaks and breakdowns and glitches and this, you know,
it sounds like
you've got to know what you're doing. Otherwise,
you know how we were talking about ecosystems the other episode. It sounds kind of like that, like setting all that in. Getting it to
creating
work.
Your own climate so that the grass will grow. but that's what they do down there. I was like, oh, so it's not an optional thing. And they're like, because I saw all the when you drive down there, just huge kilometres of it. And it's like, no, it's a must have.
Well, forest gardeners, so we're not doing big farms.
No large operations at my house.
you can do a small scale one. I've got sprinklers. If you're using sprinklers, which I don't, most people use them for their lawns. But again, it just creates rainbows, in my opinion. Don't have them on all the time. I mean, just be strategic about your sprinkling.
Yeah, I mean, do it like at a time of the day when there's going to be least evaporation, like start or end.
Cool of the morning or the evening.
Yeah.
Probably best in the morning for summer. Now, I've got cans. Why did I have cans on here? I think... Oh, watering cans.
I was thinking that. Cans of spaghetti?
I was thinking, what? Cans. Okay, I use a can. I've got a little rose. So I use that if I'm watering little plants, but otherwise I take it off if I'm using... watering like trees or bigger plants.
Just but quicker.
Yeah. Because I don't want to wash away the like seedlings, but I don't want to spend ages watering.
I know. By the end of February, I'm like done. okay, the rain's not here.
Yeah.
You're on your own plants.
Another thing you might think about is it's okay to let things go brown.
Yeah. It is, actually.
Yeah. So it's a natural life cycle of some plants.
Yeah.
Like grasses.
Yeah.
So, you know, the ideal of
just let it go.
Green lawn.
When it's yeah, I've started doing that more. Like, people spend a lot of time sort of beautifying their gardens and clipping all the dead waste away, and it's like I've sort of stopped and I've just kind of let it be for a while and not rushed to, oh, it's, you know, it's just
so
part of the cycle.
Don't panic if it goes brown, because then the next rain clouds will come and it'll come up green again.
And also, like, then you're able to collect the seeds, and even it provides a little bit of filtered light for any green plants blowing, and it serves a purpose.
Gives a bit of brown colour to your garden.
It gives a bit of height and sort of, you know, structure, like, oh, that's interesting, you know. Yeah.
So in terms of lawn, maybe our tip for those who have big lawns, just set your setting a bit higher for your grass cutting and for summer, because it doesn't really grow that fast when it's really hot. So you don't need to cut it so low, and it will help with the health of your lawn. And it'll be less work for you, and then just gradually lower it down when it's grown enough to cut it. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to shave it like, you know, a beard. You don't need to shave all your grass off.
No.
They used to call it, well, they still call it scalping in the landscaping trade.
Oh, if you cut too short.
Yeah, you scalp it. another tip is, we use this in the community garden sometimes with our tomatoes, is using a length of pipe. Doesn't work.
Not a fan.
Well.
Yeah. But anyway, each their own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you cut some pipe and bury it in the soil and put your water directly to the roots.
You still have to water every day.
You still, I don't know how.
Anyway, I didn't find it to be that effective.
Okay.
There we go.
Water in the cooler parts of the day. Don't water every single day.
No, it doesn't.
You don't need to water every day.
If you're just not feeling it, or you're low in energy, or something's come up, don't fret it.
Yeah.
I've just kind of, that's how it is sometimes.
Mm.
And yes, you may have some collateral damage, but generally speaking, the stronger of the plants will survive,
resilient.
And even the weaker will somehow, they may look like, oh, God, I'm dying, look at me, I'm wilting.
Yeah.
And then you throw some water on them and then they're back in a few days, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Sometimes a deep water is much better than a sprinkle every day.
Yes, you're right, I agree.
You know, they will store that water, and they will, if you do mulch, it will keep water in the soil, so it's not like you're constantly having to re-wet everything.
Good point, Selena. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Apply the water to the root zone, so you don't always need to water the leaves. Most plants actually prefer it to be watered by their roots rather than, you don't need to wash them.
That's right.
And also,
and then you don't need as much water as well, which is why those cans without the the floral
roses,
the rose on the end of it, without that, you can actually just get straight to the where it needs it, rather than
do it directly.
A bit more precise.
So those are the tips I have for general tips for your garden.
Okay, so I was thinking we might just break things up a bit with plan of the week.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told me.
So,
I'm a lonely little platoon.
Plan of the week is the humble grape.
Yum.
A very old fruit, mentioned in the most historical book in the world, the Bible, quite a bit.
Yes.
They drank a lot of it back in the day. Why is that? I think that's possibly because it's easy to grow in those sort of arid lands.
Exactly.
It is.
Yeah.
It is actually, grapes are an asset to any garden. Why is that, do you ask, Selena?
Because
you're not a wine drinker.
You can eat the grapes.
But you're a grape eater.
You don't have to drink them.
That's right. There's other ways that they can be consumed. They take up little space and are easily trained to grow over supports. If grown over a pergola, for instance, like mine is, the grapevine will provide cool summer shade, and in autumn, bunches of ripe fruit amidst vivid autumn-coloured foliage.
Beautiful.
That then falls all over your property. And then, having lost their leaves, filtered warm sunlight in winter. Isn't that just wonderful indeed? So, have I inspired you to plant a grapevine?
I already have.
Where's your grapevine?
On my fence.
How did I miss that?
It's a low one.
Oh, okay.
And
it's a low rider.
I've got actually four of them growing at the moment.
It hasn't really produced a great lot yet, though, has it?
Not yet, but...
Because I'm throwing grapes at you by the time my fruitful vine...
Actually has some fruit at the moment. Mum's put some bags over them birds won't pick them and the chicken doesn't
pick
them.
So you've got lots of little green... Yeah, me too. So grapes, guys, they require full sun, a certain amount of protection from strong winds, although mine's up on the hill at the back. I suppose in the midst of Massey isn't like, say, on the coastline where you get battered. So I suppose... But it gets...
Yeah.
Blown around quite a bit, and it seems to be, I honestly don't hardly do anything with this thing, and I totally overhack it at pruning time. Pierre's freaking out. You're going to destroy it. You do. We're going to have low production.
Oh, no.
And then every year, it's fine. There's too much grapes. I'm just like giving them away.
Yeah.
But anyway, maybe it's just the variety I've got. I don't know what it is. I bought it so long ago.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. And they require a soil that is free draining, yet still moisture retaining. Love that one, eh? It's got to be free draining, but it's got to...
Yeah.
It just depends on the soil, like loam or that kind of soil is a good one.
Yeah.
Although my soil's clay. Clay's moisture retaining, isn't it? If required, you can add bark, small stones and sand to a heavy soil to improve its drainage. So that's easy enough fixed. Choose a planting site with a slight slope. Mine's on a slope. And with areas where frosts occur, a north-facing slope is pretty much a must, as the leaves are frost-tender when they first emerge. In the deep south of New Zealand, grapes are best grown in a tunnel house to protect them from late frost and to provide warmth to ripen and sweeten the fruit. Okay. Grapevines can be planted with the roots and trunk outside and then trained so that the crop canopy grows inside a tunnel house or a conservatory.
I've never seen that.
They do this in some castle, one of the Hampton South...
In England?
Yeah, one of the royal places, and it's really cool. One benefit of this approach is that the vine is watered naturally with rain rather than needing irrigation.
Yeah.
Grapevines can also tolerate salty air and can be planted in coastal spots. Grapevines can even be grown in a container. A wine barrel would be in keeping with the theme. And the vine trained onto a suitable support. So if you have maybe only a deck, that could be an option.
Yeah.
Water should be readily available at the site because grapes need regular watering during their initial growth stage. Drip irrigation, you know how you're talking about that earlier, is preferable for vines because overhead irrigation can cause various fruit rots.
Yeah.
The vine will, of course, need some form of support, a pergola, a trellis against a sunny fence, or a freestanding support of strained wires between posts. That's your vineyard type if you're going to go large.
Can grow up a tree.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
They could grow up, yeah. Vines will grow anywhere if you let them. They have a long life, 50 to 100 years or more. So it is crucial that your support is solidly built. Just be aware of that. So here are some growing tips. Grape plants can be grafted onto phylloxera resistant rootstock or grown from cuttings. Phylloxera is a very small insect that feeds on the roots. Have you heard of this insect? Apparently it's a real issue. Well, can be. It can be devastating to vineyards if it gets... So it is recommended if you're going to use grafted plants to get them from the North Island and in Marlborough, where the that's where these phylloxera insects are prevalent. So use, if you're planting in those areas, use grafted rootstock that is phylloxera resistant, because otherwise it could just end in tears. Yeah. Right, and it's also a responsible thing to do, you know, so the other grape growers nearby don't end up with it. But if they've got the resistant stock, they'll be fine. Yeah. So that was interesting. Plant late autumn. If for any reason you are delayed planting bare-rooted vines, then you'll need to prevent the roots from drying out, so cover them with damp sacking.
Okay.
So that's a little hint there. Prepare the ground before planting your vine by making sure it's free of perennial weeds, and work well rotted compost and slow-release organic fertiliser into the ground. For each plant, dig a 30-centimetre wide, 30-centimetre deep hole. Fill to 10 centimetres with topsoil. Trim off broken roots and set the vine into the hole slightly deeper than it grew in the nursery. Cover the roots with soil, and listen to this word, a new word of the week, tamp the soil down. Have you heard of that? Well, you're a librarian, of course you have. Tamp the soil down well around each plant and water in deeply to remove any air pockets.
Hmm.
Keep the ground weed-free during the early years, as young vines compete poorly with heavy weed infestation. Once established, grapes do not need a lot of fertilising. An annual application of well-rotted compost, manure, seaweed meal, that's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why mine's doing perfectly well, because it's been abandoned, just left to do its thing. Yeah. I do give it a bit of fish every now and then.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's it's pretty straightforward,
pretty easy,
really.
Care. Yeah, it gives you lots of fruit. Yay.
Yeah, fourth and subsequent years of growth, this could be interesting for you. This is something I didn't know.
What?
Talk about gardening blindly, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'll just chuck it in the ground and see how it goes.
Yeah.
It's just ideal for that sort of gardener. During the growing season of the fourth and following years, I didn't really understand this, and I don't do this, but you might. I thought it'd be worth mentioning.
Okay.
The two buds retained on each spur will shoot.
Mm-hmm.
At pruning time in the winter, select the strongest of the two shoots on each spur and remove the other completely.
Yep. You basically cut it right back to those two shoots.
Yeah.
Like it's a T-shape, and then it'll regrow
so
from there.
Growing in a sort of line rather than...
Yeah.
Similar concept to the tomato thing.
Yeah.
When you pull out the little... Right. So it's really pretty simple, guys. And any diseases worth mentioning? Not really. I haven't had any. Wasps are my biggest thing.
Mm.
The overripe fruit is a big attractant. So just pick it all
just
the time.
Pick it. Or you have your chicken picking it for you.
Yeah, they do. They know.
They jump up
and
get it.
They know exactly when the fruit's ready.
Okay. That's great.
So, I was going to mention a few things about the Waikato River, but it's all good. It's good to go. Apparently the Tuakau plant, filtration plant, is state of the art.
Yeah.
So if you've got any questions about that, slick them my way. I've got all the data.
Okay.
Apparently there's a lot of stuff coming out of that river.
Wow.
Toxins and the path it takes.
Oh, dear. It's all coming our way, Aucklanders.
Paper mills.
Water.
But I'm happy. It takes the stress off a little bit, eh?
Yeah.
And it was only going out to sea anyway.
Oh.
So thank you, Waikato.
Thank you. All right, gardeners.
Thank you, the almighty Waikato. Hey, I think we're running out of time once again, so we'll finish up here.
We're happy and it's raining.
Yeah, for sure.
Happy gardening, everyone.
Bye, guys. Keep happy.